I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw. Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Brooklyn. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, then.
And good night.
And
guys, One Up fans, thank you so much for tuning in. Catch me live doing that stand-up comedies. I'll be over at the Phoenix stand-up live in Phoenix, September 21st, Thursday, one night only. Come on down, my Phoenix people, Scottsdale people. You know what I mean? Tempe, come on down. Then the 22nd and 23rd, I'll be over in the San Jose Improv. Jose Improv in the Upper Cali, Northern Cali area. Come on through. We'll do some Bay Area dances. San Jose Improv. And then, of course, oh, don't forget the 27th. We had Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. And Naples sounds like nipples, so it makes me excited. And then the big one, baby, the big one. Thursday, September 28th, Miami Improv. Oh, Pitbull's coming. Gloria Stefan's coming. The Drink Champs are coming.
I believe
Miami Dolphins. Trick Daddy's coming. The other girl, Trina, she's coming. Rick Ross is coming. DJ Khaled's coming.
I like how some of these like are reasonable that you could think they come. And then other ones, you just go, Gloria Stefan's not coming.
Gloria Stefan's in a building, bro. So, yeah, that's my comedy shows. Come see me, One Up fans.
How do you do it, man? How do you do it? And you love it.
It's fun. It's so fun.
This much travel. You just love it. You want to get out there again. You need to be traveling. If you're not traveling, you feel dead inside and depressed. Although last week you were very upbeat. You seem upbeat again.
Is that bipolar or is that manic depressant?
It's a great question. Which one is manic depressant? Depressive. Right?
Manic depressive? No, but I'm a manic depressant.
Is it?
If you're depressed, are you a depressant?
That's a great, great question.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
I was trying to get it in the system. I don't have it properly in the system yet, but in case you forget.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
I just want you to remember that. All right.
What's good, fams?
Oh, man, a lot, actually.
What's going on in the hip-hop world? Oh, shout out to Corey Burford. Corey Burford. It's a weird name. It's Burford. Corey is a good friend of mine that I lost contact a little bit because she's all fucking married and shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool. No, I love that Corey.
Who are you thinking of?
No, a different Corey. This isn't Corey. She's from radio or no?
No, okay. She's a writer from Australia. Okay. But she's I hit her the other day and she says she listens to One Up every week, which made me upset because a couple of weeks ago I was very depressed and she didn't reach out to see if I was okay.
Well, people are hoping in their mind, they're hoping against hope that you're not serious.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. They think it's a bit.
They're praying it's a bit, you know? Okay. But remember this, too.
All of us are big men demanding respect.
Right. That all of us are big men demanding respect. We are demanding it. So shout out to Corey Burford.
I don't like the name. And
just Corey? Why don't you just say Corey?
We're going to have to just shout out Corey. I can't.
All right, just Corey. Shout out to Corey. I can't do
this Burford business all night. Okay.
Babe. And she's Jewish, so don't hate
her. She's Australian?
The Australian Jew. Is that a thing?
Apparently. Does she say it like with it? So she says it with an Australian accent, so it sounds nice.
Yeah, that's how she talks.
Corey, I'm 54 years old, bro. I can't do Australian. What makes Australian different again?
I think they have three syllable no's. No. Who else did I have to shout out? Shout out Corey Burford.
Anything else?
Another one up. All right, whatever.
Well, yeah, no, shout out to all the one upers. I didn't check. So I actually, this was, of course, the one week I was not really in the Discord. Billy, were the people as appreciative of last week's Patreon as I hoped they would be?
They were, and they said they're 54 years old. Your version is the new years ago. Your way of saying it.
There's no new years ago. There's just a new thing.
Yeah,
right? Not replacing years ago.
They said that's the new one that is going to keep coming up.
And yeah, I can see it having a run. There's no doubt I'm 54 years old.
These can have a run that doesn't replace old things.
Well, no, but they love the episode.
Yeah, I mean, although, Sif, can we be honest?
Look how excited Billy is that they love the episode.
And they all kept writing loose ligaments in the
Oh, Shorty Blitz. Shorty Blitz hit me. He's like, yo, what's wrong with Billy June? I said, I don't. We don't have enough bandwidth.
Someone said that my new nickname should be LL.
LL Cool B?
Loose ligaments, bruh.
Loose ligaments. Let's see. I saw a lot of old school heads the other day.
We got to get... Sorry. We got to get Lucas on. Bitch Stealer. He's very upset. He's very upset about what has happened to his reputation.
Well, what happened to his reputation? His reputation is that he...
I'm not a bitch stealer. I don't know why you guys are saying that.
Because I'm not stole anyone's
bitch.
But he's lying.
Stole anyone's bitch. He's lying. He doesn't know. It's not that he's lying. He doesn't realize.
And also, I think maybe he's taking the name, the term you're using very literally.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a certain level of irony and sarcasm to the term in general. It's just based on a concept.
Yeah.
No, you're not suggesting that, like, when I went to the bathroom and when we had dinner at my birthday, he was like, yo, Natalie, I was thinking we should hang out. That's not what you're saying.
Right.
You're not saying he's an evil guy. So maybe he's confused.
We gotta figure it out. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
Maybe we'll do that
because I did the I hosted the first Run the Jewels concert. Host is a loose ligament term.
That's a loose ligament.
They let me go on stage and introduce a track. I did about a minute of a stand up. I did a piece of a joke, and I introduced a track. And I was happy to be there because I was involved.
Because I'm not involved.
I wasn't there. I was meant to be there. Sort your shit, mate. I was on the stage. I'm almost 54.
Almost 54 years. Listen.
A big man demanded respect.
Listen, I didn't hear from Trackstar. I didn't hear from Killer Mike. I just, you know what?
Because I'm not involved.
I will say I've always been cool with Trackstar, but I would say we are becoming friends. He's moving up the ladder to friendship.
Well, he's moving down for me.
He's a good guy.
I used to hear from him. And
he's
There was a time.
He got me involved.
So
I went to a Run the Jewels concert the first night. So I didn't realize they were doing... four nights, and each night was they were performing each album.
Yeah.
In its entirety.
That's right.
So that's amazing. I went over there, I saw LP, shout to Jamie. I saw Killer Mike, who's very warm and loving. My boy Shane Gillis was in the building. I love how Shane Gillis is a star now and can get tickets to a Run the Jewels concert without having to ask me. I used to be his plug. Now he's like, he's just up in there.
Shane Gillis, he survived cancellation.
Oh, beat? You know when people say he beat cancer?
Yeah.
He beat cancellation.
No, he beat cancer.
His new special is awesome.
He's huge now because they try to cancel him. You made him a monster.
Which, by the way, supports my theory that actual canceling, very rare. Even when a good attempt happens,
yeah,
doesn't happen. All right, so you saw Shane Gillis. Who else?
So, yeah, so I ran up in there. A-Track was dope. Kill Mike, super cool. Who else did I see? Did I see anybody else?
How you really are taking the Mr. Name Dropper to new heights.
I love Mr. Name Dropper because it's not just name drop. Shout outs, baby. Shout out our people. Those are our families.
Well, family. That's strong. Family.
Extended families. Extended vertical.
Do they know? Do they have to know the podcast exists to be considered family?
I see what you're saying.
I'm saying one F family.
So anyway, my whole point of this was, and I bought the merch, paid full price. I just bought the merch.
The
merch. Merch was fire. But the thing is, a lot of white people there. Run the Jewels has a specific audience, fan base. But love the hip hoppies. So anyway, my point was, I said, hey, track star, I'm gonna come through the show. Can I have a plus two? And he goes, yeah, bits can come, but not bitch stealer. We don't want anyone's bitch getting stolen. So I showed it to bitch stealer and he got very upset. He's like, well, why are they giving me this rep, man? I didn't steal anyone's bitch.
Well, by the way, can I, with all due respect, you know, I like bitch stealer quite a bit.
Yeah.
With all due respect, without that rep, you don't have any rep at all.
Exactly. You got something.
You have a brand now. And by the way, your brand could be worse. It could be lonely. It could be, he's the guy who never talks to any girls. He's alone. He sits alone by himself. Yours is that you're just a little OD.
Bro, bitch stealer. You know, let me say, I can't hang with him. You want to get your ego punched up and bruised and slapped around? You want your ego to be fucking just fully bar fighting into the ground? Okay, the other night he had, I don't know, every day he comes with a story. My friend from Toronto, she's in town and her Airbnb was shady, so I let them stay in my... So three Toronto girls staying at his Airbnb. And he brings them out one night. Hey, can they come to one of the comedy shows? So part of self, you know, I was wondering if these girls could come to the comedy show. So they come to one of the shows, whatever. I fucking kill it that night.
Yeah.
Then I give them a ride home because he lives uptown now. So it's on my way home.
How far up?
The 140s.
No, that's up.
No, uptown.
Yeah, that's uptown. That's not wild.
Not Billy Joel uptown. Harlem. I mean, Cameron uptown.
Right. When Cameron says,
not uptown girl, you're hanging out on 86th Street. No. This is Harlem.
Right. That is that kind of Harlem.
Bro, so apparently I dropped them off. They go back out after I drop them off at like 1 a.m. or 12. Whatever. They go back out to some party, smoking and drinking. And then one way or another, all three of them try to get with bitch sealer.
All three. Well, how do you tell the story?
He doesn't. He tells it with like he has like a bashful face when he tells the stories. He has like and then he's like kind of bragging. Bro, but I don't even.
Bragging. It's still bragging.
It's bragging.
Because he didn't have to mention anything.
He didn't have to mention it at all. But I'm like, listen, not that I'm going to do anything. But not one of them was like, hey, who's your friend? You know what I mean? Like,
no.
All three got to pile up on him?
No. Here's my question, Saif. How old are these girls?
I had to be young. 24, maybe.
It might be time for a little bit of realism.
Go on.
I'm going to make this plural, just not because I care, but just to make you feel better.
Yeah.
We're old, man.
Bro, I killed it on stage.
If the girl, if the 24-year-old girl from Toronto not only liked you, but you were available and she started dating you and brought you home, it would be a controversy. She'd go, I'm bringing home a 50-year-old man.
It would be a disaster.
She'd lose friends. People would stop talking. It would be like a family would be calling people. There'd be like an intervention. Like, do you understand? You have to really look at it from the realistic lens. You have to get to a really high level of you know, success to where age isn't even a thought. It's just, well, like,
what about De Niro and Pacino both having babies?
Well, yeah, again, like I just said, with all due respect to your great success you've had in life, that's Pacino and De Niro, so they call him Panero.
Pacino, you know what I mean? Already got divorced after a month.
Damn, he's out.
That happened like last week.
Damn. Anyways, I understand. All right. So, but what I was going to, I had a question. Here's my question about BS though. Is it that he's good looking or that he has the Kavorka, or is it both?
No, he has the Kavorka for sure. Okay. He has the Kavorka for sure.
But you don't know yet whether he's good looking. Like, is that he's just really handsome? He's a pretty handsome kid, but like, it's not like,
I don't know. Okay. Maybe he's handsome. Maybe his face is handsome to women. He's dumb short, dresses like an animal, like a fucking, like a homeless.
Yeah.
Like not even a new homeless person. Like I've been homeless for a while.
Yeah.
I'm in these streets.
Yeah.
And like when someone becomes homeless, he's like, yo, look at these freshmen.
Right, right. Exactly. He's been around. Why is he Tracy Morgan too? I hear what you're saying.
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's very interesting in that sense because he's not like, he's not.
Well, we'll have him on and we'll figure it out.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
Remember that. So, yeah,
I gave them a ride home and then Bitch Stealer goes to me, yo, I need the stage, Playboy. I need the stage.
Is that what he said? That's a great line. I don't even know if I have it in me. I don't know if I have it in me.
And then I go, hey, man, I wish some girls liked me. And he goes, that's not my fucking problem.
I'm going to be 54 years old, bruv. Maybe if you told the girls. That's
not my fucking problem.
Hey, maybe if you told the girls that you left your wife and children.
Listen, also.
I left my wife and children to be here.
I left my wife and children to be here, bruv.
Be here, bruv. The least you could do, bruv.
Now, I don't know. You know what? Fuck it. Who cares? Like, not even, they're not even my type. They're cute girls, but not my type. Not even someone I would go after. But right. Still, I got a nice whip. I just killed it on stage. Nothing? Nothing. Nothing.
Not for 24 years old, bruh. They'd have to be like,
I'm 24 years old, bruv.
24 years old, bruv. Like, nah, bruv. Yo, I went to Kenny Loggins last week. I told you this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the Patreon. By the way, if you heard us allude to the Patreon, what we were talking about is last week we just did like an hour 15 Patreon. It was a fucking hell of an episode. So if you're someone who enjoys the regular, listen, I'm not telling you the Patreon's going to be getting better and better, bruv, but I am saying, there's some shit going on over there. So patreon.com/oneep is life. But the Kenny Loggins show stuff, I saw some like late 40s ladies that were ready. They were ready for Kenny if Kenny could still bring it. Kenny was there. Yeah. They were like, you know, they were young at some point. They were young at some point, bruv. Speaking of young, at some point, I went to the Funkmaster Flex Hip Hop Forever concert. By the way, you're going to love this.
Bring it down.
I've been playing The Bomb sometimes on my wrestling podcast, like because there's big wrestling news. And I got the most earnest email the other day from someone just being like, hey, I noticed you've been playing that bomb sound effect a lot. I'm just curious. Does that have some sort of cultural relevance? Because I don't understand what you mean when you play it.
Wow. Who the fuck is that guy?
He was like, is there any? He was like, I'm sure there's no. And he was like, I'm sure there's something, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
And I said, you know
that.
What?
I respect that.
I said, I'm really glad you asked. Anyways, so I did not love what the Flex concert looked like on paper. Like it was like, it felt like very random when you read the list of people involved in it.
Like, what was the list?
Wu-Tang and Mary. Cool.
Yep.
EPMD. Yep. Love okay. it. Getting a little different than the Wu-Tang and Mary, but love it. Sean Paul. All right. Sean Paul.
Okay.
Trying to figure it out now. Hosted by Tyrese and Maxwell. Now I'm just lost altogether.
Tyrese and Maxwell.
So okay. The bill, to me, was not nearly as fire as the show was.
That was the whole lineup.
Those were the only names listed. At the way end, they added Diddy.
Okay, you got to. He's released a new album. Love album out now, guys.
But yo, if you were at that show, you know, and if I had time to talk to Flex like in person, I would maybe tell him my thoughts on this. It was such a fucking banger of a show.
Yeah.
But you might get thrown off if you saw the flyer. You'd be like, well, I don't know what this is. Yo,
and this is at the Garden?
It was at the Garden.
The main Garden.
Big Garden.
The Olive Garden.
The big Olive Garden.
Wow. So
when I tell you I got some names lined up for Juan Epiruz.
Okay.
People are excited to come on.
You about to drop?
Drop some names?
Oh, you about to drop?
I'll just tell you this. He did a little set. Flex got on. So I got there. Of course, this is the first Hot 97 show that ran exactly on time. So I had to go to Roslyn, Long Island, because the concert fell on Rosh Hashanah, right?
All right. So really? It all was because you're Jewish?
Yes.
I was kidding.
No, dead serious. First Rosh Hashanah with the in-laws. Had to go.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I ran back at 8 o'clock. I jumped in the car at like 7:50. Too late for Sife for sure. But yeah. I was told previously it probably won't be running on time. So I make it and park in front of the Garden like 5 of 9. I get inside at like 9:03. EPMD is already on stage. So I missed my intro slot. But I have to tell you.
Well, you were supposed to introduce them?
With Ebro and Laura.
Oh, what a fuck face.
And instead they just roasted me on stage saying I was late. When really I was thrilled with the time I made. Couldn't believe I missed it, but I did. It's obviously always possible. If it says 9 o'clock, it's gonna be 9 o'clock. And it was 9 o'clock. But truth be told, the stage part,
EBMD was the first group.
No, Sean Paul was at like 8:30.
Oh, okay, Sean Paul.
Then EPMD. The truth is, though, the fact that I saw Flex, the most important part to me was that Flex knew I was there to support his show. That was that was really
like that. Yep.
I want to get on stage. Everyone always wants to get on stage. But honestly, I was happy to just be standing on the stage watching the show. So we EPMD Sife. I mean, bruh.
Murdered.
Murder. And like the people really.
DJ Scratch or no?
I don't think Scratch was there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're doing the thing anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I never ran into Scratch, so I would say no. They bodied it. After EPMD, yo, they closed with Please Listen to My Demo at MSG in front of 15,000 hearing Please Listen to My Demo.
How long were they on stage? Half?
They got a real set. Yeah, like 30 minutes, 25, 30.
So they did joints.
Oh, man, and they looked great. They sounded great. Yeah, I have to tell you, man, it's so... I don't talk about this that often on the podcast. Yo, my relationship, what?
Your small penis.
My small penis and the way that it affects me when I'm at these shows. My relationship with PMD is so great and always has been since the second he did my college radio show fucking 25 years ago. And he's always remembered me and like watched me come up. And when he sees me, always has like, I don't know how to say this without it sounding a bit But
Jay,
but he always has like a special moment for me. You know what I mean? He always has like a yo, like always.
It's funny you say that because I kind of get the same feeling from Eric.
Like just always.
Like every time Eric sees me, he shows me like more than like extra love, which I get a lot of love from people that I see from that era. But he gave me like extra love. It's weird you say that.
There were a lot of special guests who came on that stage. Okay.
Special guests. Here we go.
Special guests came on that stage. So I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's take it back to the old school. Let's take it to Union Square.
I'm talking about, hold on. I'm talking about.
Ooh. Wait, which one? Both? No, just Seattle. Both?
No.
Just see us move.
Yeah. I'm talking about.
Yeah, Rick, this is the wickedest introduction.
Okay. Both?
Just vicious.
A little vicious. Okay. I like that he's all grown up now when he raps his song. He's like, I'm a freak. I'm a freak of the week.
I'm talking about.
One, two, three. Come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get fresh.
What?
We are the best.
Hey, who? Cool?
Cool. Yo, Syph, let me tell you this.
Cool rocked?
Bro, Syph, let me tell you. I have Cool's number. He wants to come on the pod. We're getting DJ Cool.
He rocked.
Yes, he came out and did Let Me Clear My Throat. He was dressed to the
nines. Just that?
Yeah, I think he just did Let Me Clear My Throat.
What was he? How was he dressed? I never even seen this guy. I don't know what this guy looks like.
Really? Yeah, I feel like you'd recognize him if you saw. I'm from DC. It's different.
Yeah. What was he wearing? And
who took the pictures of us too? I have pictures. Someone snapped pictures. I don't have it.
Was he your famous photographer wife?
She was not there. She was Jewing it up.
She was doing her Jew thing.
All right, but Syph, do you know
what she picked Jew over Wu?
Yeah, it was. It's but there's a reason why I didn't have her. I didn't have a photo pass for her. There were reasons why it made sense. But
she picked Jew over Wu.
Jew over the Wu, and this only in this case. There was a lot of Jewish guilt going on.
If it was Nas, she would have been there. If it was Nas, she would have found a way.
Possibly. All right, ready? Here's the song that I tell you. Getting to hear this guy get on stage and do this in front of the Garden. And first of all, he looked and sounded great. Uh-huh. But it was such a unique experience that I never thought I'd have in Syph. And we're getting him on the podcast. This right here.
Oh
my
get
God.
Get out of here.
Hold on.
Suckers that's down with me, the one of us, that's how I feel. To be down, you must appeal.
You must to the who? What?
And we're going for.
Yo, shouts where? To Milk D, bro. Shouts to Milk
D. He did that song. So who was Flex DJing for all these artists?
Yeah, for these ones, Flex was up there. I'm pretty sure he was the one DJing. But Flex went on a rant on who's the Lox's tour DJ again?
Technician.
Flex went on a rant on Saturday night about how Technician is the best DJ for artists in history.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Wow, he put his foot down.
I mean, he was going off. He was going off for sure.
I mean, bro, I was listening to the Lox. So I took the Lox Dipset verses and cut out like my favorite parts, and I just have them in my phone. Like, so if my phone's on shuffle, it'll like N words done start or something, or who shot your freestyle, or
right.
It'll just come on rotation in my phone. Bro, he does kill it. He does kill it because there's even a part where like Sheik was about to rhyme a little too early, and he's like, "Hold on, Sheik, hold on, Sheik." Like he really guides the show, and his cuts are like precise. His cuts are precise.
I mean, by the way, if your name's DJ Technician, it's kind of, you're obligated.
What would you do if you were sloppy? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be sloppy. You can't as Technician.
Yeah, he does kill it. So what? So EPMD and then all those guests, like one after the other?
They came all after them. Then Wu-Tang.
Flex was like, yo, come do one joint. Come do one joint. Bam.
Then Wu-Tang.
What, CL Smooth just did Reminisce?
He also did Straighten It Out.
Okay.
Which I have to say, though, in the moment, and Greg Nice did a few. I forget.
Just Greg.
No Smooth. Wait,
so did Flex tell everybody not to bring any of their partners?
Yeah, he said only one at a time.
I can't wait to go to the Dougie Fresh, Smooth B, Pete Rock show.
That's going to be the one. And Gizmo.
Yeah, Gizmo.
And then Wu-Tang rocked and brought out Redman. I mean, you saw probably on my Instagram the highlight. Ghostface brought out the Eagle.
Man, bro, what a fucking night. Who made Ghostface that jacket, bro? The Ghostface killer?
Ghostface, the Ghostface robe with the fucking, with the Eagle, man. I was so psyched to see that. It was such a cool moment. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Who from Wu?
Oh, that RZA.
You're never going to get all of them.
I saw RZA because here's the thing. I had a terrible angle of the stage at that point, and I was kind of talking.
Because they were like, yo, move out of the way, Jew N-word.
I know Ghost. And I know Ghost. I know RZA. I know Meth. I know I saw Deck. I assume Ray. I never saw Ray, but I assume Ray.
What do you mean? Are you hearing the songs?
I know this sounds bad, but like I was moving around during their set, and then I pop out and I heard Rockwilder, and
why are you moving around with Wu? You do all your moving around pre and post Wu.
That's who I was there to see was Wu. You're absolutely right.
You want to post up and watch Mary do slow jams?
No, I left before Mary. So, no, I was there to see Wu.
You had to leave. You had to get home. You got to walk bare.
Long Island. No, I had to go back to Long Island.
You rejewed.
I went back to Long Island, bro.
You had to rejew.
Yes.
Wow.
You had to jew up. I jewed and rejewed.
Rejuvenation.
I was rejuvenated. Good job, Billy.
Bro.
Can I ask you a question? I want you to answer honestly.
Yeah.
Should I feel bad that I ran into Red Alert and it felt like he hated me? Or is that a possible normal thing that can happen if you run into Red Alert at a certain time?
You're asking two different questions. If he hates you, yes, you should feel bad.
Well, of course. How would you
know? Now, are you asking if he hates you?
Well, if you knew the answer, certainly I'd love for you to reveal.
I don't know the answer. What gave you that vibe?
He gave me
nothing. He didn't give you no poo-poo juice.
I saw him talking to Shawnee like the two of them went to high school together. And then he saw me. You ever have someone you think is going to give you a nice warm embrace and then they give you with the, let me just keep you right here. Just keep you right here.
He gave you like a loose ligament dap.
No, it was more like a tight ligament dap. Like I'm going to block you.
Tight ligament push away.
Yeah, stay right here.
Tight ligament push away.
Yeah, you're not. So I brought this up earlier. And
not bringing you in for a warm embrace.
No.
Maybe he knew it was your holiday and he didn't know if you're allowed to be touched.
I don't think that's it. But I brought this up earlier with some of our other Hot 97 people.
Cohorts.
And more than one said they have had occasions in which they got that vibe and then the next occasion they didn't. It's been back and forth for me for a while with him. Like I see him sometimes and he wants to chat and other times he has no interest. I was like, okay.
I don't know. I've gotten pretty much always the same from him, which is pretty warm.
Pretty warm.
And then now he goes to my barber. So now sometimes I see him at the barbershop. So.
Well, he was once 54 years old, bruv.
Nah, he's 64 years old, bro. No,
but then he was once 54 years old.
This is a long time ago.
But then get this. I saw another person and got a kind of like, eh.
Oh, who gave you the cold one?
Marley gave me like very little too.
Really?
Very little, bro. Very
Marley
little.
Marley Mall.
And I was like, yo, Marley, I was like, did you get my text about the biz thing? That was so dope. He's like, yeah, I got it. I was like, okay.
Mm. What's going on here? Is it the Chuck D thing?
The Chuck D thing? Did they start browsing the internet yesterday and found something that they had already had?
That Chuck D is Chuck D is a black mark on your permanent record.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
That doesn't go away. Don't get it twisted.
So it can come back?
Yeah.
They won't even remember what
you've
it
seen
was.
Them. You've seen them since.
Yo, bro, you know what? When do you think the Chuck D thing was? That's a great question.
I'm going to say 7 years ago.
I mean, way more. How about that? Saif, here's the realness. Rosenberg apologizes to Chuck D. July 7th, 2014. I'm going to be 54 years old, bruv.
2014 is what? How long ago was that?
That's 9 years ago, bruv. 9
so
years.
Once again, we've bent over for the Americans.
Yeah. As always. No, you know what it is, though? I think you did tap into something, though. I think that because of that and some other factors, I get held to like a weird, I can go out of favor with people very quickly for any reason. Do you see what I'm saying? I think I hold a more tenuous place. There's a lack of trust. You know what I'm saying? So like they hear a certain thing and all of a sudden they remember a certain thing. And they're like, do I mess with him?
Yeah.
I don't even think. And I'm like, wait, you don't remember all the other? Wait, you just threw? Okay.
Because the Kelly Rowland thing gets in there. It brings up the Chuck D. Kelly Rowland brings up the Chuck D.
So anytime I have anything critical to say of anyone black and famous, it's going to bring back the memory of the time I got into it with Chuck D and said some
wild. He does some wild shit. He's a wild boy. Maybe they just got their bitch stolen.
Well, listen, you know what? It was all made up for. I decided, Saif, this is a valuable lesson for both of us. I decided in that moment to say, I don't really like how this feels from anyone. It does not feel particularly fair or warranted given my relationships with those people. But I'm going to talk about it on One App and not going to think about it. Because you know why? I've run into 100 people who I've had a wonderful run-in with. I'm not going to focus on the collective 30 seconds that was clearly like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I decided to go sit there and spend some time with my man, Bugsy Bugs, have a great old time with Bugs. And I ran into Lenny Green.
Ooh. Oh, bro. I put together a Ghostface. Bro, I'm really happy. I've been finding time to like gather up tons of music by artists I like and find album cuts that I might have not have been aware of or forgot about. Okay.
I like this idea. So
I did a Lil Wayne, my Lil Wayne list is fire. I went in there and started taking out features of people I didn't like and just got Wayne verses back to back to back. I don't need gutter on certain things. No offense.
No, Scythe. No offense.
So Ghostface was my latest one. And, I forgot what song it is, but he shouts out Lenny Green in it. Like something like about a smooth voice like Lenny Green.
Mm-hmm.
Fire.
Was it on Wizard of Poetry? Or was it
I don't know. I put so many Ghostface songs in I had to go through. They all blended together.
I love him so much.
Man, I tell you about the Ghostface Nems record. I mentioned that on here, right?
You're so late. I know you don't care, but like, by the way, guess what? Ghost is going to be on May 9th.
on May 9th?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
Wait, what did you just ask me? What, you love the Ghost Nems Don't Ever Disrespect Me record?
I had to do this thing with Nems for Monster Energy. I was telling Nems that we'll get back to Mary. One second, I want to hear about Mary. Oh, you left though.
I didn't see Mary. You can watch it on the
Hunt. I was telling Nems he's getting great features, great artists, great beats. His music is dope. He's like, he's getting the same respect as Griselda.
Mm-hmm.
But his music is a little more fun than Griselda. Right? So Griselda's very slow and hardcore underground hip hop. Nem's got a little more bounce to his shit. Not knocking Griselda.
Right.
So you know how Griselda, like, I don't even know all the Griselda projects. I just put it on shuffle. You'll hear Raekwon. You'll hear 50. You'll hear all the people that, you know, from our era that love Griselda. Nems is starting to get the same shit because he's so New York and so aggressive with it. But Ghostface on that Nems record let loose a new Ghostface that I never heard. Like,
oh, the really?
Most, I never heard that flow from Ghostface that he does on Nems. And I was like, yo, you brought something out of Ghost on that song. And it's just one quick verse. And he was like, yeah, Ghost bodied me. He's like, I almost went back and rewrote the verse, but he's like, nah, let Ghost live. Bodied him. It's Ghost being Ghost.
So I think that's all I have to tell you. I saw Ghost. I ran into Method Man, who was great. Method Man thanked me for defending him against the racist who called the K-Show that day.
Dope.
Yeah, so why focus on the fact that someone else you idolize kind of treats you like you're... like your disease.
Well, you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is.
Don't tell stories.
Yes.
Sife, you have so many reminders to talk about.
Oh, God, hurry up. I got to get to therapy.
In your text message.
Okay. So I was out. I'm on a little run with Dave Chappelle, and we went to do Mo Ammer Day. So Mo Ammer Day, Mo has a day, you know, he has a key to the city. His day is whatever. I think it's September 16th, I think, is Mo Day. So he had a big show in Houston, like 5,000 people, something like that. Dope show. Me, I hosted the whole thing. DJ'd, hosted. My boy Ralph Barbosa. Hassan Minhaj came. Hassan tough, Minhaj.
Tough week for old Hassan what Minhaj. Happened? You don't read the newspaper very often.
Not at all.
Yeah.
What happened?
Article came out about Hassan that basically says that every story he's ever told is made up. I don't know what the net ramification is. Like, I was sitting there actually.
Why? What? Oh, I guess
it. I read it too. I read the article too.
I did see Mo and Hassan have to have a little
why
private
are you saying his name so like that.
That's how you have to say it now. He doesn't like Hassan Minhaj. It's Hassan. Hassan Minhaj.
No, you don't have to say Minhaj, do you?
Minhaj.
No, okay, that's enough.
What? So what story? What did it say, Billy?
I haven't finished the story. I was in the middle of work when it came out. But my dad, tell me if you agree with my dad's assessment, because my dad's a fan. He said at first, you're like, oh, this isn't that bad. And then as it goes on, you're kind of like, wow, he really did make up a lot of stuff.
He said, you take things of the truth and then you like, add humor to them and add kind of like far-fetched things to them to make them funnier.
Oh, he does it like a comedian,
But some of the stuff that he did it to were things that were a little too serious that caused actual issues, like a teacher being like an FBI informant.
Well, that story, or
a white powder being sent to his house in an envelope, and then him saying that his daughter got sent to the hospital because right. she smelled it.
So it's a little
that didn't happen.
Do me a favor, shut the fuck up when I'm trying to get into my podcast. Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard Gary Delabate on Howard? He gives information, but if Howard weighs in, then he pauses for a second and lets him talk. You could tell I wanted to weigh in on what he was saying, couldn't you? Sorry, Billy, that was valuable information. But so Sife, the first thing Billy said about the the FBI informant thing. That's like a really big story in his act from his childhood. Yeah. And he tells it and you're sort of like, oh my God, like you're part of it. It's that it's funny, but part of it is that your mind is blown by the story having had happened to him.
I don't care.
So you don't think there's any obligation? I'm asking you. I don't know that there's an answer.
Zero.
So you could get up on stage and portray the entire hour as being about your life, and it turns out it's about your friend's life. It doesn't matter. It's all for performance.
Correct.
But then again, you comedians believe, you guys just, you do whatever, and as long as it's in the purpose of being on stage and people laugh, that's all that matters.
My job is to make you laugh. Whatever I do to make you laugh is the job. I'm not, I don't give a fuck. You don't have to know me personally.
You would have no judgment for a comedian friend. If you've been watching a comedian do a bit for years and you always thought the bit was, they always portrayed it 100% all the time, like it was their life. And then he found out they weren't, you wouldn't think anything of it. You just be like, no, it's cool.
It's a bit. Are they speaking at a school? Are they doing a lecture? That's different.
I wonder if people
are doing like a graduation, commencement speech or whatever those things are called.
I wonder if people, Billy, do you think that people are holding Hassan to a higher standard because he hosts like a fake
news show? A fake news show? He does a fake news show.
But Patriot Act's not really a fake news show.
Patriot Act is a,
it's kind of a real news show.
It wasn't fake news.
That was a real news show.
It was actually a really good show.
So Billy, what did you walk away thinking from the story?
I'm 50-50 on it.
I hear you.
Because I see Sife's point too.
Well, you have to be real. You have to be real on stage. You think I ever airdropped a dick pic? I never did it. I sound like I fucking do it every day on stage.
That is true. I literally, you're sort of go-to shit. It's all made up.
All of it. The funny thing is my shit is all made up because when I'm not good enough at it yet where I tell real stories. I have a problem taking my real stories and embellishing them. I don't know how to do it yet because my hip hop brain is like, nah, son, that's not how it happened.
Right. You know what I mean? You'd rather just tell a made up story that you're not even pretending to be real.
I just make it up. Yeah. I just make it up. And then like the Drake story is the closest one to it being somewhat real. And I'm getting better at it. But even the Drake one has embellishments in it. And I find the jokes in it. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know the whole story, but holding him because he's a comedian first, like the show says comedy on it. Guess what? Rodney Dangerfield. A lot of people respected him. All of us respected Rodney Dangerfield. So, I mean, it's not even his real name.
Right. Right. I love Hassan. I agree. I don't know that it means like there's something inherently wrong with that. I don't know. But I'm just saying he was in the news. So you saw all these people. That was part of your story.
Hassan Minhaj.
All part of the Mo Amer Day.
Then Mo came out. I DJ'd before Mo came out, like hyped up the crowd. Bro, I catered my shit to the Houston audience. They were going crazy. Mo comes out to the standing ovation. Man, crazy. So then brings out Bun B. Bun B does two songs, smashes it, and then Talib Kweli came out and did Get By, killed it. And man, I never got so. Oh, that fuck! I forgot. After Mo, Chappelle came out and did a surprise. He was a surprise guest.
Oh, nice.
No one knew Chappelle was coming. He was a surprise guest. Man, bro, I fucking super murdered it, bro. Like beyond, like everybody was showing me love. And then like Kweli had a long talk with me. Kweli was like, I see why you do what you do. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, it's too easy for you. He goes, DJing's too easy for you. He's like, you had to challenge yourself and do some other shit. I was like, damn, I never quantified it like that. You know what I mean? And then Dave gave me some super love because Dave never sees me. Like, he'll see like a glimpse of me like before he comes on stage, but he doesn't ever really see my set or my act. I don't think he likes to watch other people's acts, you know?
Or doesn't like you, full stop.
He loves me. Stop it. But apparently I was on a screen downstairs in his green room and he saw my whole set. And later on at the after party, like, this is what I, you know what I mean? This is what I need, bro. He was like, yo, you murdered it. You killed it. How did you do that? How do you know what to do with this and that? And you're great at this, la, la, la. So I was like, I was in heaven. I was floating.
It's interesting. If you had done this whole comedy thing you've done, minus the comedy, just being like, I'm going to be the DJ at every big comedy thing. It's interesting to think about how that would have played out.
If I would have just did what, like the DJing of comedy?
You're just the DJ.
With no jokes.
And then on the side, instead of booking gigs every other night to do comedy, you were just back in the DJ game. It's just interesting to think potentially that version of your life also. Because you're like me, you don't pursue one thing. Yeah. And it's awesome. But also you wonder whether like everyone sees you DJ and it's like, oh my God, Jesus. You're like, damn, should you be doing festivals in front of fucking 100,000 people?
Well, I thought of that I would kill festivals, but it wasn't in my plan, in my stars.
How high does it get you relative to the DJ? I mean, the comedy. Like when you're doing it, how does it feel?
Well, it's hard to say because what people aren't realizing is like there's a lot of jokes in what I'm saying when I'm DJing. To me, it's more the jokes. I have a setup and then the music is the punchline.
Right.
But they see the crowd going crazy. Well, this one was different because this one I was like hyping the crowd up more because it was a bigger venue for Mo and it was like his day. So I was making him go crazier. Usually I don't play songs that are just sing along. So it's like more for jokes.
Right.
But this time I was like I played like Paul Wall and Mike Jones and Ghetto Boys. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And so people are super impressed because of your music knowledge as an actual DJ.
Yeah. And then I was like, it takes time, but I research and I find the right thing that's going to work in the right moment. And I play
just the right anti-Semitic record to play for Mo Amer's fans. You got to find just the right.
Because
just the right. The Jews will not replace us, but you got to find the one in Farsi.
Anti-Semitic, classic. But like even the Arabic songs I find, Mo's whole team is like, how do you, like, I don't get it from them.
Right,
I go get the hot Arabic songs.
Yo, and I'm like, way, I don't want to shit on your parade too. What they don't realize is it's gotten so easy to do that. It just requires a little bit of work. Like you would have done the same thing even pre the internet. You would have had conversations and found the
record. Call a lot more people. Yeah, you have to call more people.
Now, all you got to do is put in that work on the internet and be like, let me find these joints that are the joints.
Yeah, but what I do is I go on the internet and then I back it up with actual people that know the music. Like Lady S.
Confirmation.
Yeah, like Lady S. You know Lady S?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I thought you said Lenny S. I was like, why?
No, not Lenny S. Lady S. I get the music and then I hit her and I go, hey, are these the right songs to play? It should be like that one, not that one, unless it's Egyptian crowd. I'm like, okay, no, it's not an Egyptian crowd. Got it. And then she'll be like, you need this one.
Hey, Saif, listen, I could hear you talk about how great you are all day long, but I got to go.
Tech Nine. I also saw Tech Nine. He wants to do the podcast.
Oh, because you're in
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Oh, and your football friends came. Your football, Pat Maloney and Kelsey Grammer.
Pat McAfee?
No, the guy from the Chiefs, Pat Maloney.
Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he was there at the show last night. And
Travis Kelce?
And Travis Kelce. His name is Travis Kelce? I thought it was just Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they
came
up in
the show last night?
Yeah, they was up in there.
Yeah, that would have been a good picture for the gram.
Marlon Wayans and Juvenile and Wendell from The Wire and Anthony Mackie.
Well, that was in New Orleans. I got to get to New Orleans, but we got to go.
All right, we'll do it on Patreon.
Save it for the Patreon. Hey guys, thanks so much. Shout out to Corey Burford.
Shout out to Corey, indeed. Shout out to everyone ran into, people who liked, everyone who liked and didn't like running into us over the last week. We appreciate all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And also, please never forget,
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.